B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We're live in Ashburn, Virginia. All of our training camp coverage brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation. Paul Henry is our guy. I was talking with some guys this morning. You know the dude Bulls Hardwood that makes all the wooden flags and the wooden W's and all that stuff? I was talking with him. He's just such a good dude. I'm trying to – I might try to get this flag made, but I got to run it by Lauren first. But it was – I wanted to talk to you. So we're waiting for Tana. Whenever Tana shows up, that's when we're going to talk to him. Jeff, Tana's walking in right now. Jeff, get up. All right. I will tell you the story about Friday later.
Information.
Yeah, give him that. I will turn this microphone on. Actually, it might be on. You are listening to B. Mitch and Finley. We have new Ring of Fame member Santana Moss joining us now. Give that a mic check, B. Let me see if I hear it.
Test.
Lanville, you hear that mic? Okay, great. Santana Moss joining us now. Tana, man, thank you for making time. How are you, buddy? How are you, dude?
Oh, I'm good, man. My bad. I think Coach is still talking.
Yeah, hold on. I think Toby messed something up. Give me 2 seconds. Santana Moss is here. As soon as we get him a microphone, we will be in business. Talk to me now, Tana.
Testing.
There we go. Now we got him.
Yeah.
What's up, fellas?
Been a whirlwind 24 hours for you? From yesterday morning to today, knowing you're going in the Ring of Fame?
I'm just soaking it up, man. Honestly, you know, it's good to be surprised, you know what I mean? Because I had no clue of this. And like I said before, I didn't even expect, you know, don't get me wrong, you know, I feel like my play was worthy of it. But you never know, you know what I'm saying? I've seen plenty of guys that played well, that, you know, they recognized enough, but, you know, they didn't get up in the ring. So to honestly finally get that kind of recognition that I have probably ever got nowhere. I mean, University of Miami, I got recognized being a Hall of Famer, and that felt good, but I didn't know how to feel. I was still playing at the time. This feels different, you know? This feels like, man, you're finally getting something that it goes deeper than just, you know what I mean, playing ball. Yeah. I look back at my career as a whole, how it started, and I'm like, to finally say that, you can put that on there and say, this is what he ended up doing. After all of that, that's why it feels different. You know, it feels good, though.
You were shocked because you had your brothers, your boys, me. Nobody told you. You couldn't figure it out. But you kind of figured when it got close yesterday, something was going on.
Yeah, man, I just, you know me, I'm observing everything. I'm like, ESPN sitting right there watching us. This young lady back in the back with her camera on, who never's in our tent.
Yep.
And then you get to talking about me. I'm like, man, what's going on? And then when you said that forever, I was like, oh, don't tell me. And you said it's going to be up in the ring. I said, dang. You see, I just kind of like put my head down.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know how to feel, but I know them tears was coming. You know what I'm saying? So, nah, man, it just feels great. Like I say, man, I'm one of them cats, bro. I can be all right with it or without it. But to actually have it, I don't know how to feel, man. I'm walking with a different step. Like, you know, I had a pep in my step this morning. I got out of bed feeling that I hung out late. But I still had a pep in my step, you know?
You had the water bottle working?
Water bottle. I remember what he told me. He said, anytime I had like to drink, man, I make sure before I go to sleep I start drinking water. I drank some more water last night. I said, I don't have to work. When I woke up good this morning, I said, that boy B. Mitch got something going on. He know what he's talking about, you know?
Our friend Santana Moss sitting in with us here in Ashburn at Commanders Training Camp. A very well-deserved honor for Santana Moss going in the Washington Ring of Fame. That'll happen week one this season. Who all reached out to you? Because I'm guessing some old teammates from Miami or old teammates from
his phone. Man, it's dead because it's just been – bro, I can't even get to everybody. Like, it's been crazy. Lavernius Coles hit me up, said he going to try to be in the building.
That's cool.
I had a lot of my old teammates and coaches from the Jets, college, high school. Man, it's just – people I don't even know got my number. Like, Tana, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in the building. I'm like, damn. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, hey, I appreciate it. But that's why I say it's like I don't know how to feel because I never experienced this, you know. So, but like I was just telling those guys on Command Center, man, I'm going to enjoy it. I feel like whenever you get recognized this way, It's for a reason. So I'm not finna sit up there and act shy and act like, nah, it ain't that time for that. Uh-huh. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to be smiling. I'm going to be cheesing. And my family going to be up. And my mom and my dad, I think they deserve more of the credit than anything. So I'm going to make sure that we all enjoy it together.
Laura was talking about how your dad may be right now.
Yeah.
How you think he feeling?
Boy, stop! Look, I told folks, man, when I was playing ball, people used to be like, man, who that man is cussing his son out on the sideline? I ain't say nothing because that's me. He cussing me out. And I get to high school, and he called me a star one day, and I said, I got it. I must be did something well. And ever since then, I ain't looked back. But that you don't know how that feels to a kid to be called something that, you know, that's all you want. You want your parents to appreciate it. What you're yeah, doing sure. And to give you that. I guess you could say that added that extra motivation to want to be out there and be good and be great at it. My mom and dad worked so hard, man, that's all I know. And they didn't tell me. I watched them. Yep. So when people say Tanner worked so hard, I had good teachers. You know what I'm saying? I had great teachers. This is what I want to do. I didn't want to do what they do. I want to do this. So I'm going to do the same thing that they did in their profession and mine and make sure that I can have the same kind of career.
Well, you just got another person reached out to you. Lamont Jordan told me to tell you, well-deserved.
Yeah.
What
Boogie, up? My God.
You know, we've all spent some time together, some late nights, a couple trips on Air Ahmet.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've heard some of your stories. And
we got to get that book, man. Let's go ahead and put it out there.
Let's do it.
I'm going to let you be that guy. You say you want to write it. Let's do it.
I absolutely do, because some of the stories you've told me are just – incredible. And you mentioned your father and the impact he had, not just on you, but on lots of folks down in South Florida.
Yeah.
Nothing ever came easy for you.
No.
And I wonder if it did. Say Miami. Say the Hurricanes just gave you a football scholarship.
Yeah.
You didn't have to come in via track and then walk on and everything. Do you ever wonder if there was a different break if you'd be in the same spot?
You know what? That's a great question, but I'm going to tell you like this. Being that I had other scholarships for football, other places, I could have easily just went on saying, I want to experience it that way. What made me do it in Miami is because, one, I just didn't want to go away from home. I didn't want to go to the cold. So I honestly put myself in that pressure. You know, I didn't have to go out there and say, I'm going to be a walk-on. I did it because, you know how we say you can't get everything your way?
Mm-hmm.
I said to myself, that's how my life been. I get one thing, but I gotta go around, above, beyond to get it. Mm-hmm. My friend get it just off the rip. Damn, why you got it so easy? It's always been like that for me. So when that opportunity came, I had that talk with myself. I say, Tanner, you could go to Pittsburgh. You can go to Utah. Man, Miami, we gonna take over Western Michigan. You know, they highly recruited a lot of us. So yeah, I might do that. Then I was like, you know what? If you go there and knowing you had this opportunity to stay home and play at the University of Miami, you'll be mad at yourself. You'll be kicking yourself in the behind. And so I said, you know what? I know it's odd. I know I might not look like the other guys who got scholarships to go play football, but what the heck, man? Let me take this time and let me go this route. And to tell you the truth, getting there, it got worse. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't just like, okay, you're going to be a walk-on. They turned that football scholarship over in week four, week five. But I still couldn't be a football scholarship athlete. I still had to act as if I was running track. I was on that scholarship. And so I didn't have the training table that the other guys was eating steak. I had to go eat elsewhere. You know what I mean?
Right.
I didn't have the thing we had a cane car where you get like $130 or $140 a month. I didn't have that money, so I had to call home like, Mom, I need a couple dollars.
Right.
You know, and I remember a guy, Tony Gator, man. He was he was in the NFL. He had played receiver at the University of Miami prior before I got there. He was a free agent pickup by the New England Patriots, and he made the squad. And he would come home and work out. And he found a liking to me. He saw me, and he said, hey, man, you got something in you. And he started working out with me and started telling me about Terry Glenn. I told him how much I was a fan of Terry Glenn. So he went back and told Terry Glenn, hey, got a young guy down there, love you, named Santana Moss. So now those guys watching me. And he would bring back little nuggets to me, man, and say, hey, man, them guys say you can play on this level. You don't know what that did for me. Because now I'm talking to a guy that's over there, and I know how he got in the door. And then he also he told me. He said, low key, man, I'm going to tell you why I started hanging around you. He said, bro, I used to be upset when I saw you couldn't eat with the football players. And he said, I saw it like you took it on. Like it didn't bother you, but it bothered me. Damn. And bro, I broke down in front of that dude. And he said, I know. And from there, man, it just was like everything just took off from there. You know what I'm saying? And he saw me. He would call me and say, bro, you done changed that number. It's a different man out there on that field. And it was just, man, it was just everything was history from there, man. So
that Fred told you, your Fred told 48 going 48 up in the Raptors.
That's my first number in college, man. That gave me 48. That's a true walk-on number. Like,
yeah, here you go. Sure.
Let's backpedal. How did your friend get that nickname, Scrap Iron?
Scrap Iron? That is a hell of a nickname.
Hey, he was a fullback for us, uh-huh. Big old fullback. And our coach said, man, you know what? Screw that. We finna make him do more of the carrying. And he used to bulldoze over people, man. I'm talking about every highlight you saw him in high school, somebody pulling his shirt is getting torn off and he running out of the tackle. Scrap Iron, man.
I mean, I love it.
Running guys over. He averaged like, man, I told you we had a wing tee offense. We slid the wing guy out to the receiver. So my other homeboy, Pat, now he's the receiver out there with me. And our fullback, running back, and the quarterback had 1,200 yards rushing.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Now you see why we want to throw the ball.
Not the best way for a receiver to get recruited, though.
Kind of like Calvin Johnson at Georgia Tech.
Right. They were an option team. Santana Moss joining us after the news of his number name going up in the Washington Ring of Fame. Tana, I'm curious because I see you walk through the crowds and just how much love you get from this fan base all the time. But, like, I am just about the tail end age-wise of people that saw the Super Bowl era, right? That, like, experienced Gibbs when this thing was rocking. And I think, I mean, you've heard Lanfield said it 100 times. Mm-hmm. Remember Pete that we all used to work with? He's told me 100 times. For younger fans, if you're 35, if you're 30, if you're 25, you are so many people's favorite player during what were some tough times, but you always toughed it out, always performed well, and always did right by the fans. What does it mean for you to be so beloved by that younger generation of Burton Eagle fans?
I tell you, man, I'm not saying this just to say it. If I never got any other kind of recognition, they give me everything I need. Bro, like, I mean, I can't go nowhere without hearing about that Cowboy game and just all the other games and all the other memories. And so the fans make sure I know what time it is. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I say, first and foremost, man, like, D.C., they don't owe me nothing. Because when I walk them streets, they show me every time. They give me the gratitude. I be having kids that I know you ain't watched me play no football. You Santana Moss? My mama got your jersey. My mama said you did. And, like, I be sitting there dying laughing. Because I'm like, kid, I know you ain't watched me. You know, my youngest son, he's 16 this year. He caught the tail end of me. And he didn't even really know the magnitude of what I had did prior to that. You know, he be talking about, hey, Dad, you remember when Pierre gave me that football? He remember that. And I'm like, boy, he don't even. And so His older brother and sister be like, man, you missed some years, man. Right. You missed a lot of years. Yep. He be like, man, shut up. Like, he don't care. But he see the highlights. You know, they get to go to YouTube and see all that stuff. So it's like now he's playing receiver down there at Sunset High down in Miami. And, you know, this is going to be his real first year of football, of high school football. You know, ninth grade, he couldn't play because he had jumper's knee. Last year, he got diagnosed with childhood diabetes, so he couldn't play that year. So this is the year. So I'm hoping and I'm praying that it gets off to a good start, you know, for him, because I know he wants it real bad. But it's just great, man, to know that so many people that grew up with us, you know what I mean? Some of these guys be the same age as me, to my boy.
I used to watch you when I was young.
I used to watch you when I was young. I'm like, how old are you? You know, I'm 46. I'm with you, man.
Right.
But it just feels good, man, just to know that I was one of those guys that they can say, that's who I have memories of. When I watched football, it was Santana Moss. It was a guy like Santana. It was number 89.
Man, 8 to the 9.
That's it, man.
Tana, man. I remember, I mean, you know, because you and I are about the same age.
Yeah.
And I'd be coming to games. I was long before I had this job or any of this, and I'd just be, you know, the drunk guy in the upper decks. And I, when it got to be around Christmas time and you'd make a first down or whatever and you'd hit it, I'd always yell, Santana Claus!
yes, Lord.
Do you have Is there like a favorite moment, favorite memory? Is it? I'm sure there's a ton of them, so maybe it's hard to pick one.
I got a lot, but I think the one that I hold near and dear is that Jacksonville game, man. That Christmas Eve game, too, 2005, I'm a big-time giver, so Christmas is like, you know, it's like, boy, I had so many people up, and I was giving presents.
Santa Claus.
You know what I'm saying? I'm looking forward to making the other people. I'm always the one that want to mix everybody else's day, you know what I mean? So Christmas is big. That's when I show, and I express a lot, you know, Christmas time. So I had all my cousins and friends and family up. So to have that kind of performance on Christmas Eve, bro, you just know how my house was. It was rocking. You know what I mean? It was a big moment. But that Jacksonville game in 06, man, to grow up in Miami, and I remember when Jacksonville became a franchise, to see the whole evolution of Jacksonville with Mark Brunell as the quarterback, Jimmy Smith, yeah. Keenan McCardell. Yeah,
they were balling.
I watched them, Fred Taylor at running back. I watched them, man, and I would have never thought in a million years that I'd be beating Jacksonville the way we beat them that night with Mark Brunell throwing me the football.
Uh-huh.
Come on, man. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Come on. So to have moments like that come true as a kid, from being a kid, watching those guys and being on that stage with them, that's why it meant so much, man. And you got to think about it. Miami, when I played Miami, Tampa, and Jacksonville, it was like – Your friends, your family, they get to see that. Yeah. Damn, this dude beating up on the teams that we grew up watching.
Right.
You know, I could walk to the Dolphin Stadium. That's how close I lived. You know what I mean? I remember when they was playing in the Super Bowl. They had the Super Bowl game at that stadium. It was Jerry Rice, and he was up against, the 49ers was up against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Wow.
And my dad asked me, who you got in the game? I say 49ers. I was a 49er fan. And I remember watching Jerry Rice tear them apart. You know what I'm saying? And I remember we sit outside just because we just wanted to hear the roar from the stadium.
Yeah.
That's how close I was. You see what I'm saying?
That's so cool.
Bro, you can't tell a kid that grew up watching that and wanting to be that. Now you're that. You know what I'm saying? So I have so many memories. But that Jacksonville moment, man, it stood out because it's just that's a hometown team, man. And you doing that. And I had so many fans. I mean, my bad, not fans, but friends that live in Jacksonville. So every time we would come and play them during the preseason, they would come and see me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or Tampa. They would come and come to the hotel and holler at me. So I knew they was front and center watching that game back at home.
That's so cool.
So when you finally see the cover come off and you see your name up there, will any tears come out?
Oh, my God. Don't talk about it now. I'm about to cry now. Come on now. Damn, I'm trying to go home. Trying to go home not crying again, man.
Did you
I know
cry,
it is,
me?
Man.
Oh, yeah. I was trying my best to hold it.
I know it is,
and
dude.
Then like, you hold it, and then you wink, and then you can't stop it.
I'm going to have my towel, bro. I'm going to cry. I don't care. I'm going to boo-hoo. I'm going to let it out.
There you go, baby.
How many – I have people hitting me up. How many people have hit you up to get one of those Moss hats?
Everybody and their mama. You hear me? Hey, I just told Ryan. I said, Ryan, I know I can't call this, but – it won't be a bad idea for the team to say that's what we're going to give for the fans that day.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that would be a great thing. Something to take away, man. Like, you know, I got this on the night they put Tanner up in the rafters, you know?
There you go.
Here's what I can tell you. If they don't maybe do a giveaway or maybe make them for sale and someone goes to charity, however you make that work, if they're not available – if you walk around the parking lot, there's going to be some dudes selling Moss 89 hats.
You know it.
They might not be official, but they'll be for sale.
Yeah. I'd rather them get the official one.
Yeah.
You know it's going to be selling. Hey, somebody else just decided, oh, I'm ordering somebody right now.
The dude that walks around with cigars in a bag and then just a whole rack of hats. Tanner, you're the best, man.
Appreciate you, bro.
I am truly
Congrats
so happy
once
for
again,
you, man.
Thank y'all, man. I appreciate it.
I said this when you were coming on. You were an elite player, and I think you're a better person, man.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Hey, that book.
Let's do it.
Let's do it, baby.
Let's do it. We got to lock
it in.
It. Santana Moss, 8-9 on Instagram, getting his number, name, put up in the Ring of Fame. Well earned. Tanner, thank you for joining us. Nobody go anywhere. Quick break. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. One 06-7 the fan. Landfill just playing the vibes right now. Bro, I'm getting so many tweets and reaction to Tana. If people want to call in 800-636-1067 and just tell us what Santana Moss means to you and how happy you are he's going in the Ring of Fame, I think we definitely take those.
Go for it, yeah.
Becoming friends with Santana Moss is one of the joys of my life. There's a lot of joys in my life, but that is certainly one of them. B, how happy are you? Like, knowing what that feels like to watch your name go up there, how happy are you for him?
I'm thrilled, you know. Actually being together last night and just watching him as, you know, this is the thing about it. Just when you know someone is genuinely happy and pleased by something. When his brothers and stuff were talking and his friends were talking last night, actually, we could have did a podcast last night. We probably have like 18 million views right now. Because the conversation last night with Tana and his Bo and Bub and then Lloyd and Sonoris, and then Fred walks in.
I ran into some of them at Wawa. Wawa was popping yesterday afternoon.
Let me tell you, dog, the conversation last night was interesting.
Oh, I bet.
And the drinks were flowing, but the ultimate thing is you can hear Tana even talking then. When someone starts to get choked up a little bit, you know it's special to him, man. And yep. It's just like he said, as a little kid, you go through life thinking about what you want to do. And then when you start, as an adult, you can relive those thoughts and you basically accomplish the things you wanted to and more. You know, it's a great feeling. So I'm looking for the tears because, you know, the tears are not about sadness. That's joy, brother.
Yeah,
100%.
Jeff Walker decided to hang out with us for a couple minutes. Jeff, how old are you? 30?
I am 31.
31. Reggie Miller.
Yeah.
What does Tana mean to you?
Can't shoot threes, though.
Well, when you were interviewing him, you said you were a lot of people's favorite players. He was one of mine. I remember at one point I used to have his jersey, but I was a big kid back then, you know?
That jersey was tight.
And hey, so look. All my brothers and cousins, when we would get together and play, play football in the back, I would put my jersey on, and they used to call me Fat Tana Moss. So we used to, everything. I used to hit the little ball spin, shake my fist, point to the first down, and like, it's cool to see one of the players that you watch growing up receiving this recognition, because Tana, it's just like what you be. Mm-hmm. You walk around, B-Mitch, da-da-da. You have a Super Bowl, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Tana wasn't able to get that, but he get that same love, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it's amazing. I'm happy for him, and I can't wait to the ceremony.
That was well put there, Jeff.
Well said, Fat Tana.
We're going to get him a shirt, Fat Tana Moss.
I got a bunch of tweets.
Number zero. Just have a big old zero on there.
890. I'm getting tweets and texts about it. Like, the boys that I'm on the
text. Yeah, my man hit me. He's like, man, tell Tana congrats. My wife got his jersey.
I love it, man.
8-9, baby.
I got a tweet from our boy Cody Betts. Said, I'm 29 years old. First jersey I have was Santana Moss. Scarence Terrence tweeted me, said, Santana Claus was a core childhood memory. Santana was my first Redskin. Got to meet him soon. Cowboy killer. Our guy Chris Kerwin is here, and Kerwin's been covering this team a long time. Kerwin covered B. To give you an idea, Chris Kerwin.
Yeah, Kurt, how old are you?
he's still
all is dirt.
He's still throwing real weight around. I know that. Kerwin, what was it like covering Tana?
Tana was, I remember when he came, I think at the press conference, they had shirts that said Got Moss, because Got Milk was a big campaign.
Yep, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It said Got Moss instead. So I remember that. I was like, that's kind of cute. Who is this guy? And then I was like, oh, that's who this guy is. And he's this electric guy. And as far as covering him, he had a locker in the locker room that was next to the door.
Yep.
So almost like where Terry is, but I think on the other side of the door.
No, I think it's the same spot.
It was the same spot? Yeah, same spot. Dude would, not unlike B. Mitch, would always talk. What you got today? What you got? I'm like, even on like some terrible teams, I'm like, ugh, I gotta go talk to Tana about this. And like, he would always talk. Mm-hmm. And as a photographer, as a journalist, you can always appreciate those guys. Like, yep, this is my job. I gotta come talk to you, knuckleheads. And they give you good sound bites and thoughtful things and don't run away from you.
Always
don't
a pro. Hide. So, I mean, I covered Tana at the tail end of his career. You know, I started coming out here Robert's rookie year and then more and more from there. And same thing, Tanner was always a pro, man.
Yeah.
And you think about that 2013 season. That was some ugly, ugly times, man. And Tanner was always a pro about it, always had Outkast playing in his locker, and just you get to realize what a special person he is. Let's hit these phones. Let's go to Malachi. And
Malachi, what up?
Malachi, what's it mean for Tanner to go in the Ring of Fame?
Man, it means everything to me, man. Coming up as a kid, man, watching him whoop on the Cowboys is great, man. I had the chance to meet Santana and Brian at the Mr. Brian Mitchell at the NFC Championship game. What was that? I think it was at like the like one of the rest stops or something. I was real amped up to meet him, man. Got to take a
picture. Oh yeah, we were driving back.
Yeah, man. I was Anthony Child, man. But man, it means that's
appreciate
great
that,
for
man.
No thanks problem. For the call, no. dude.
Yep.
Santana.
We were driving back. We stopped trying to get some Popeyes, and they said they had no chicken. I'm like, well, why the hell y'all open? I mean, how you go to a Popeyes and they have no chicken? I'm coming here. Yeah, give me some red beans and rice.
Right.
It's like, I want some biscuits.
So the game Tana was talking about, the Christmas Eve game 2005 against the Giants at FedEx, 5 catches for 160 and 3 touchdowns.
Mm-mm-mm.
That year, dude, listen to this run. Week 4. Against the Broncos in Denver, 8 for 116. Week 6 in Kansas City, 10 for 173 with 2 touchdowns.
Damn.
Following week, Niners at home, 5 for 112 and a touchdown. I mean, just ball game.
That dude was cooking.
And then, of course, everybody remembers week 2 in Dallas, 5 for 159 and 2 touchdowns. We're going to keep these phone lines going. If you want to tell us what it means to you that Santana Moss is going in the Ring of Fame, hit us, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Writing on the wall. It's Santana Moss Appreciation Hour. If you want to call in, tell us what Tana means to you, do it. 800-636-1067. Let's go to Tyler. Tyler, Tana's going in the Ring of the Fame. How excited are you?
What's going on, JP?
How you doing, bud?
Well, long time listener, first time caller.
Appreciate it, man.
I just wanted to give you my favorite memory. My favorite memory was Monday Night Football, down 13-0 against Dallas. 2 touchdowns in the final 6 minutes, and we win the game.
All right. That was fantastic, man. Right there, bro.
The Cowboy killer. Got this tweet from Redskins fan forever. Said, Santana Moss, Monday night game at Dallas. Cowboy killer. Long overdue for 89 to be up in the Ring of Honor. Let's go. Love that, man. We'll keep these phone lines going. Jonesy is in D.C. Jonesy, what's it mean for you to have Tana go in?
Man, it is real big, man. It's very special to me. I mean, after losing to Dallas like 8 seasons straight, I mean, it's terrible, man. 8 games straight. I mean, you know, it's just super, man. I mean, you know, I got a chance to hang with him and Ken Harvey when they did a grand opening up at the pizza spot up there on Rhode Island Avenue. And, man, Santana got some stories too, fellas. So this is great, and I'm happy for them. Have a good day, fellas. And it's EO season, B-Mitch. Birthday is Friday, baby. I'm out.
All right, baby.
Happy birthday, dude.
Happy birthday to you.
Tana definitely has some stories. He's done it all.
Yep.
Our boy Tay tweeted me, said, Santana's Cowboy destruction felt like a playoff win.
Oh,
back
bro.
Then, that's about all we could celebrate.
Yeah.
It was he did a lot for fans of this team, man, and meant a whole heck of a lot. I'm really, really happy for Tana. Like when I saw that, man, I was so happy. Was that part of – so remember I asked because you were like coming back from Vegas and had this Sunday morning show. And I'm like, damn, you got an 8:30 Sunday morning show after Vegas? And you're like, yeah, I'll be good. I want to do this. So you clearly knew when I was asking why you wanted to do
that.
That
I had to do that, yeah.
You ended up coming back Saturday night anyway.
Yeah.
Just make it a little easier.
Yep.
How was Vegas, by the way? We never got to talk about it. You play all
right? Played 78. That was it.
Oh, you only played the one day?
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to play them.
Okay. I mean, you played some pretty good golf, it sounds like.
Yeah. I'm hitting it good.
I got just a little bit of a question for you, Brian. We're obviously out in the heat in training camp, right? And that's exciting. There's not the amount of media that comes out here for training camp is pretty significant. There's probably, you know, 50 people a day media-wise, something like that. They build out these tents and stuff. But there's not outdoor plumbing out here. It's porta-potties.
Yeah.
You know? Not that nature doesn't call and there aren't situations, but I am always shocked by going in those porta-potties and the amount of people that go number two in there.
Let it go?
Like,
why you shocked?
To me, that is an avoid it all possible ways. You know how Wegmans, Chick-fil-A, like there are places way close.
Yeah, sometimes you can't get all the way over there. Let me ask you a question. The worst thing in the world to have to use the bathroom on an airplane.
You think an airplane's worse than a porta potty?
That's the worst because you got to walk out of that thing and
everybody knows.
So have you ever gone on a plane?
If
you got to go, you got to go.
I don't
remember they got to go. What's the?
You know, I told you this before, I think. I got food poisoning. I was leaving DuPont Circle, taking the cheap bus up to New York, and I got a sandwich at this little deli right where
Keep buying them little things, man.
19th Street comes off of DuPont Circle. Dog, and I ate like half of it, and it just started feeling like there were gears grinding in my stomach. I'm like, oh, hell. And I'm on a bus to New York, 5-hour ride. And there's a bathroom in the bus, and I'm like, oh, boy.
Got to do it.
I mean, I didn't have to sit down. It came northward instead of down southward. But a bus bathroom is pretty damn terrible, too. I don't understand the people, like, just go to Wegmans. It's 5 minutes away.
But, Jay, you can't get to Wegmans sometimes. You know how far some of these people are parked. So I'm telling you, bro. People will find a way. When nature calls, you do what you got to do, bro.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm telling you. So I had this Tom Ford cologne, and I bought this bottle. I was like, man, I'm going to be using this, and I'm going to ration this out because it was so expensive. Get on the airplane, and I normally go to the – I normally hit the bathroom before I get on the plane just to make sure.
Sure.
But I don't know. I got one of those little boxes they have, and I eat something, and my stomach, like, oh boy. I wasn't embarrassed when I came out the bathroom because I probably left half of that Tom Ford bottle in there.
I was trying to cover it up.
I was, and then I flush. Then I flush. When I walk
that
out,
that airplane flush is loud too.
The bathroom smelled better when I walked out of it than it did while I was in it. I promise you that. Whoever went so after me was like, damn, he smelled good. But, bro, let me tell you. And that's embarrassing. Like, but when you sit there, you're like, damn, if I walk out here and open this door, because I know sometimes I've seen people on the plane, they open that door, you're like, damn, something died.
The airplane stuff, I think porta potty in the heat is just the worst. Like, you imagine, I don't want to spend much time in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That thing is like a sweat box. It might as well be a sauna in there, man.
Well, so, when you go in there, it's an emergency. And normally when you have to go wherever you got to go, that one don't take that long.
Here's my advice.
So you in and out, though.
Right. For fans coming to Ashburn to watch training camp, I got young kids. And anytime we leave the house, I always encourage them to go to the bathroom before we leave, right? So we don't have to stop. If you're coming to training camp, use the bathroom before you get here because it's not an ideal situation. You're just standing around outside. Now you've been warned. You've been properly told what to expect should nature call. Here's what we are going to do. Our guy Ben Standick launched his own Substack. He's going to join us next. He's been out here every day, stealing my chair, covering the Commanders. See what he thinks about the Terry McLaurin situation. Nobody go anywhere. It is B. Mitch and Finley.